Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
10 arguments from social science, why same-sex marriage is harmful to children in our society. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about phase two, or part two, to what we began with regards to 10 social science reasons against same-sex marriage. We're going to talk about five today. Let me just recap the five that we did in the previous program. Number one, children hunger for their biological parents. Number two, children need fathers. Number three, children need mothers. We unpacked these in the first program. Number four, evidence on parenting by same-sex couples is inadequate. None of them have scientifically accepted standards for research. And number five, evidence suggests that children raised by homosexuals are more likely to experience gender and social or sexual disorders. I would say also, and add to that, that they're more likely to experience other kinds of failings, according to the Regner study, outside of just gender and sexual disorders or stresses. But let's now talk about 6 through 10, Matt. Mm-hmm. That's an overview of the first part. And obviously, we're not going to go into detail because we did that on the first part. But let's go into detail on the next five social. We're talking about social science reasons. We can talk about biblical reasons. We're talking about social science reasons.
And again, this isn't comprehensive. These are just 10 of the big ones. Number six, same-sex so-called marriage would undercut the norm of sexual fidelity within marriage. One of the biggest threats that same-sex marriage poses to marriage overall is that it would probably undercut the norm of sexual fidelity in marriage. We know this to be the case, Matt. A number of studies have shown that same-sex, particularly homosexual males, simply monogamy isn't part of the equation.
That's right. In fact, Andrew Sullivan, who is a homosexual activist in the book called Virtually Normal, said this, quote, "There is more likely to be greater understanding of the need for extramarital outlets between two men than between a man and a woman," close quote. You know why? Because the woman's just simply not going to settle for that. You start doing that in a marriage relationship with a man and a woman, and the woman's just not going to do it.
Yeah.
You get two men together, and both of them have these sexual proclivities. They're going to allow the other person to do it. In fact, what they call this is open relationships, so that the two men are together, but they have frequent and many sexual relations with others outside of that union.
Yeah, radical homosexual activist Dan Savage calls it monogamish relationships, which is just nonsensical.
And a recent study, too, Matt, from Vermont, said that more than 79% of heterosexual married men and women, along with lesbians in civil unions, reported that they strongly valued sexual fidelity. Only, however, about 50% of homosexual men in civil unions valued sexual fidelity.
Well, Matt, we know that women serve to domesticate men. I mean, that's not an opinion. Again, that's the social science that shows that women ultimately bring men into their role as father, as provider, and protector for the household, and they domesticate men, and that lends itself toward monogamy.
Number seven is same-sex marriage would further isolate marriage or separate marriage from its procreative purpose. You know, traditionally, marriage and procreation have been tightly connected to one another, and that's been true historically. And it's true. That's why our laws have gathered around marriage to protect it and help to stabilize it, because it is important for fidelity. It's important for that family relationship to stay together, and it's important also for the procreation of the next generation. Without that, you're going to have sexual activity outside of the marital bond. And what does that do? It makes people poor. It makes people poor. The easiest way to make a society poor is to increase the rate of sexual infidelity. And you have the burden then falls on who? It falls on the women, primarily, to raise the children while the man is out there continuing to run around and not take the financial responsibility.
Well, people can't deny either that the procreative purpose is central to the institution of marriage. That is a fundamental cornerstone aspect of what marriage is, generally speaking. Not every family can biologically have children. Not every natural marriage can produce children because parents might be sterile. But they can be politically correct all they want to. We're going to be biologically correct here. The reality is that same-sex couplings are sterile by their nature. Biologically, without the intervention of a third party of the opposite sex, children cannot be produced. Same-sex relationships cannot produce children. There is no procreational aspect.
And number eight, same-sex marriage would further diminish the expectation of paternal commitment. And this is pretty true. A person by the name of George Akerlof, a Nobel laureate and an economist, found that the widespread availability of contraception and abortion in the late 60s and 70s and the sexual revolution they enabled made it easier for men to abandon women they got pregnant, since they would always blame their girlfriends for not using contraception or procuring an abortion. And certainly when you have same-sex relationships, you separate the procreative commitment or the commitment to the children that comes out of the procreation. You separate it. You separate that union from procreation. Now, I know some people will say, well, there's not a requirement that people are procreative or capable of procreation in order to get marriage. That's true. But you remember the laws that we used to have? The laws you used to have is that if someone got married and the other person was unable to bear children, what would you do? The law would allow you to annul that particular marriage because procreation was central to it.
Yeah.
And procreation, as you look, for example, in the Scandinavian countries, where in 2000 they adopted a same-sex civil union, I had a friend that visited there a couple of years ago and asked his dad, "Dad, why do you see all these women? This is during the day. They're out. All the kids are around them. They're pushing baby carriages, but you see no men."
Yeah.
Well, a couple of reasons. One, the government came in and subsidized that, and so men were irrelevant to the household. And two, while marriage was deteriorating, same-sex unions pushed it over the cliff.
Yeah.
Because it literally separates that paternal commitment and severs that relationship from procreation and commitment to the children.
Well, number nine here, Matt, and the feminists are just going to love this one. Marriages thrive when spouses specialize in gender-typical roles. You get that? So in other words, heteronormativity is a good thing. If same-sex civil marriages are institutionalized, our society would take yet another step down the road of de-gendering marriage, this ridiculous notion of gender neutrality. There would be more use of gender-neutral language like parents, and more importantly, more social and cultural pressures to neuter our thinking and our behaviors in marriage. I think that word
is
appropriate.
You mean that if same-sex marriage were adopted, there would be more gender-neutral language like partners, not parents.
I'm sorry, partners. Yes, I misspoke there. Exactly. Marriages typically thrive, Matt, when spouses specialize in gender-typical ways and are attentive to the gendered needs and aspirations of their husband or wife. That, you know, this is not just something that the social sciences studies bear out. This is something that our common experience bears out.
We need to touch on two more real quick, and we have very little time. Number nine, marriages thrive when spouses specialize, like you said, in typical roles. That's what you had said. But number 10, women and marriage, you already mentioned that, domesticate men. Mm-hmm. And that is clearly true. The women, and you go back to this earlier example, that same-sex marriage ultimately, particularly within men, breaks that fidelity to that relationship. Women would domesticate men in that respect, so they would not allow that to happen. Marriage as the union of a man and a woman, male and female, is part of the natural created order. There's a lot of social science reasons for it. There's also a lot of biblical reasons for it as well. For more information, visit lc.org. LC.org is the website to visit, and we have books on the website, Same-Sex Marriage, Putting Every Household at Risk. We talk about some of these social science reasons in that book, along with other information in that book as well. You can order that by going to LC.org or calling 800-671-1776. We also have other books there, one by Dr. Judith Reisman, Sexual Sabotage, and a book that we published called Stolen Honor, Stolen Innocence. We also have a book by Rena Linda Valson called Only One Mommy and other resources as well. This issue of same-sex marriage is a defining moment in the culture, not just in America, but in Western civilization. If we cross this precipice, all Western civilization will be literally at jeopardy, at risk, because it undermines the very first social structure, and that is the family. This is a critical issue. Get involved. Contact Liberty Counsel to engage in this fight.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.